Survive and Thrive, Episode 17. Visions. What's he trying to tell you? Around 4 months after my wife Julie died, a vision kept appearing in my mind. I see myself stood outside the prison gates. The thought of being on my own for possibly another 40 years felt like I'd been given a double life sentence. The vision showed me stood just outside the gates, looking through but not entering. Why didn't I enter the prison? Was the vision telling me not to be a prisoner for the rest of my life? I've met so many people who are prisoners after suffering bereavement or from past experiences like abuse or abandonment of some description. And some are prisoners in their current relationship where their partner has total control over them. So when that vision kept appearing of me looking through the prison gates, what was it saying? Why was it appearing? Who put that vision in my mind, and why did it stop after I made a decision to move forward and be with somebody else? The message was telling me not to imprison myself. I'd done everything right up to that point and was recovering well, but the one thing that kept returning and holding me back was the thought of being on my own for such a long time. For the rest of my life, for possibly 40 plus years. I like my own company, I'm happy on my own, but something was telling me that wasn't right. It was a very confusing time, and it's hard trying to explain the way I felt. I can only describe it as the thought was making me feel mentally uncomfortable. My mind could never properly settle. One minute I was happy on my own, and the next I wasn't. All I kept seeing was this 40 years on my own. I had no intention or want to be with anybody else, but this agitated state of mind was telling me that I wasn't meant to be on my own. I didn't realise this until a few months after the visions had started. I didn't understand what the visions were trying to tell me. That thought of being on my own seemed like a double life sentence, and that's what I thought the visions were saying. I've often wondered what goes through the mind of somebody who's just entered prison to start a 20-year sentence. It must feel like the end is so far away that they'll never be released. I felt like that. It seemed never ending, as if there was no end to the amount of time that I'd have to wait to meet Julie again. But in the same breath, it was an unimaginable thought to be with somebody else. I hadn't considered being with somebody else until months after the visions had started. I must make this clear, very, very clear. The original problem that I had was being stuck on this earth for possibly 40 plus years before I could be with Julie again, not 40 years on my own without a partner. The thought of not seeing her for that length of time was the reason I wanted to end it and leave this earth. I just couldn't see how I was going to make it for that amount of time without seeing her again. But the vision of the prison gates didn't appear until about 4 months later. At that time, I'd been on my first trip to Scotland. I felt a lot better in myself, more relaxed with the situation I'd found myself in. So why were those visions entering my mind? Purposely making me feel uncomfortable, pushing me into a decision, encouraging me to think outside the box and about other possibilities, encouraging me to think of something unimaginable. I'm not one of those people who need to be with somebody. Even though I'd been with Julie for 29 years, I knew I'd get used to being on my own. I was having good moments on my own at that time. I was trying to get back on track. I'd started to find my feet. I like being on my own, having my own space, doing my own thing. Some people need to be with somebody. I'm really not one of those people. But when that vision kept coming back over and over again, I knew it was a sign. It was a very peculiar vision. Not only was I looking through the gates of a prison, the prison looked like it was an American prison. The gates were the mesh covered ones that you see outside the US prisons. I knew I was being advised to do something, though I didn't know at that time what it was. I didn't understand it. Who was telling me to move forward and look after somebody else? To live again? My guardian angel? Julie? The visions continued to plague me for 2 or 3 months until one day a strange event occurred along with a chance meeting. That meeting completely changed my thinking. I still find the whole thing hard to comprehend at times when I think about it years later. That chance meeting made me realise that I still had so much love to give. Love that I couldn't let go to waste. Love that could change somebody's life. The vision suddenly became clear. Don't lock yourself away through loyalty. I needed to look after somebody else, reignite their life. There was no awkwardness, no shame, no guilt. Though I'd made a complete U-turn within 8 hours regarding my thoughts of being with somebody else, I immediately knew it was the right thing to do. I'd been led spiritually. I'd been guided by a force greater and wiser than myself. After that day, the visions of the prison gates never returned. For many years now, I've known why I've been put on this earth. I've been put on this earth to look after people. This is not a new thing that I've just learned, a new thing I've discovered since Julie's death. I know this is the reason why I'm on this earth. This was the plan set out for me before I was born. We've all been given a plan, but like climbing a tree, succeeding in the plan that's set out for you depends on how close to the trunk you're going to climb. How close to the original plan are you going to stay? Are you going to wander towards the branches, away from your destination? Rule number one, life is a test. Will you pass the test given to you? Rule number two, you have to make your own decisions without influence. The final decision must be yours. Are you going to go with your first thought, the right thought, the less selfish thought? Rule number three, you must live life to the full, but live it in the right way. Life is a gift. Make the most of it, but not if it's detrimental to others. We've all made mistakes. I've made as many as the next person. Had some very dark times, been engulfed with anger and hatred. But we must learn to get through these tough times. Turn these negatives into positives, learn from those mistakes and times, and become better people from the experience. Learn to accept that those problems are part of your life, part of your makeup. Be in control of your mind and emotions. That's why it's important for our parents to teach us when we're young, to learn from our mistakes and not to make them when you're older. When my children were younger and they did something wrong, they'd say sorry. I would tell them that sorry meant that they would try their best not to do it again. They needed to learn from that mistake. The word sorry wasn't just a get out of jail free card. My children really needed to understand the meaning of it. When that lesson is instilled into your mind, it then becomes part of your life. You incorporate that lesson into your life. It becomes part of you and you become a better person because of it. You become a more settled person as you know that you're going to make very few mistakes in life as you've already learnt that lesson. That lesson then brings confidence. It removes congestion in your thoughts. It allows your mind to be clear. It removes the mist that mars your thinking. It allows you to think honestly and clearly, to drift away without distraction. That first trip to Scotland was a turning point in my recovery, the chance to hike alone in nature, to get away from my familiar surroundings, to go somewhere totally new, where there were no distractions, no reminders, where I just had to get on with it no matter how weird it seemed. There's something very special about Scotland, something very spiritual. There's a feeling that you get when hiking there alone. It's hard to describe. It's not a manicured land. It's natural. It's rugged. It's unspoilt. It's real. There's a history there. You're walking on the trails and tracks that the clans once used. There's a magic about Scotland. The legends and myths. Giants, monsters and fairies. Wrap that all together and walk the trail to freedom. Free your mind of negativity and just keep walking. Inhale the brisk air that cleanses your mind and soul and step into the moving photograph. Let yourself be free and become the person you really are. There's something that I've always known. Things don't just happen for you. You have to go out there and get them. That could be mentally or physically. When you find yourself in the predicament I found myself, it's not easy to know what to do. You've never been in that position before and therefore you have no experience in how to cope with it. I knew I had to push myself out of my comfort zone. Do something, anything. Kickstart my life again. The answers are all around and inside you. The thought of my uncle going on holiday on his own after my auntie died was on my mind. I kept thinking about it. I'd admired him for doing that. He'd pushed himself into a corner. He'd not shied away from the issue. I was in a different situation to him in a way though. He was a lot older. My auntie had died of cancer after a long battle over a number of years. He'd had his chance to say his goodbyes, said the things to each other that needed saying, had the time to try and get used to the inevitable loss, make a plan for the future. I suppose he'd done a lot of his grieving whilst my auntie was still alive. My first plan was to go to Budapest. It's a city that I'd always wanted to see. I've been to many places in Europe, but never Hungary. It seemed the right thing to do, but when a few people advised me against going, especially my daughter, I was then redirected to Scotland. I'm a survivor, that's what I am. I know I would have survived in Budapest and returned home, and normally I would have considered their advice but then carried on with my plan regardless, as nobody knows what I'm capable of doing more than me. But my daughter's input swayed my decision. I put her feelings first. I ask myself this now. Would I be in the position I am now if I would have gone to Budapest? My path of life would have been different. Would I be standing up straight again now? Would I have fully recovered after losing the love of my life? When I decided to heed my daughter's advice, I decided to go to Scotland. That, I believe, was the turning point. The leap of faith. I'd gone against my thinking when normally I wouldn't have. After having my original plan kiboshed, a lot of people would have just given up and not gone anywhere. At times in my life I've done that, but something drove me to go to Scotland. While searching in Galloway, the southwest coast and the Isle of Arran, my mind was clouded and I was pushed towards Loch Ness. I ended up in an apartment in Drumnadrochit, when I should have been on the opposite side of the loch. Looking back, I feel I was slowly pushed along until I was in the right place. A place where I'd find enlightenment. A place to free my mind and find the next path in life. The path to recovery. A path to a new life. I feel I'm a little different to most people. One thing is, I notice things. I thought everybody noticed the things I do, but I now know they don't. I notice chains of events. I piece things together and paint a picture that tells a story. I notice unusual events and instantly consider the evidence. Why has that just happened? What are the possibilities that that could or should happen? Is it a sign, and if so, what is it trying to say and why is it happening at this particular point in my life? Something I don't do is go around looking for signs or things to happen. Things must come naturally to you, and they will come if you home in on yourself and allow yourself to be led. I dismiss a lot more events than I certify. I feel I'm like an experience tracker. I notice the signs, the faint paw prints, the way the grass has been pushed to a slightly different direction, the remnant of food or prey that has been left behind, the small clues that identify the species and movement of the animal that they're tracking. The tracker's eyes are wide open along with their soul. The tribal bushmen imitate the animal to home in on it, to be as one with it, to think and feel like it does. It's very similar to opening yourself up spiritually. You become used to finding your way, just as the bushman becomes used to finding his prey. The signs are all around in life, the paths and trails to new beginnings, the crossroads where decisions must be made. The greatest guide you have is your instinct. Follow your instinct, believe in yourself, listen to your inner self and make the decision, but most importantly, give yourself time to think without distraction. Drift away, feel that buzzing as you drift towards that distant place, that place miles away, that place where there is no distraction. Let your mind and soul work as one. Once you learn to do that, your decision making will become different. Using your brain and using your mind are two completely different things. Your brain is your knowledge. It's packed with the knowledge you've learned in life. It's your everyday problem solving tool. It tells you what to do in life as we know it. But your mind and soul combination is that place you go to when you totally zone out and drift away in that daydream. That place where only you can go. That place you can't go with someone else. That place where there is no distraction. When your mind and soul are open, you can be led. Led when you need to be led. Led by your instinct. Led by your deceased loved ones. Led by your guardian angel. They know when you're troubled. They know when you need guidance or help. The spirits can distract your thinking and lead you to the answers that you seek. Those life-changing moments, those moments in times of trouble. When you're hurting and confused, when you're desperately seeking a solution, when you need inspiration. Open yourself up to the possibilities. Believe, truly believe. Visit this new world, a world that's always been there. One which your brain can't find, but your mind and soul can. They know its location. Deep down, you know its location. Open your mind and find that place. Open your eyes and realize when you get there. The longer you're there, the more you'll understand it. The more you'll remember where it is and know why it's there. Don't force yourself to find it, because you won't find it. And the more you try to find it, the further away from finding it you'll get. Learn to be patient. Open your eyes wide. And start to piece things together. Make the connections. Why has that certain event just happened? Why did it happen at that particular time? What were the chances of that happening then? Why has that thought entered my mind, one different to my normal thinking? Why have I never thought like that before? Why am I thinking more and more like that? It's so obvious. It makes sense. Believe in what's happening to you and build on it. Gain momentum. Keep believing. Be at one with what's happening to you. Don't allow knowledge to get in the way and try not to take advice from others. They might know the answers for themselves, but they don't know the answers for you. You have all the answers. They're locked in that little box that's inside you. You just need to find the key that opens it. Your answers are different to theirs. They're different to everyone's. This is something you have to do yourself. Find that path and walk the trail to freedom. The trail that takes you to the land of hope. A land of wisdom. A land of reason. Believe. It's all you have to do. Just truly believe. Open the door and see the light shine brightly. Do you know what light it is? It's the light of your new life. Soak up the bright light and bask in the warm rays. This is the life you should be living. Now go on. Go on and enjoy your new life. It's been a long trek with many mountains climbed on the way. But there's the light. Now follow it.